click. Wonderful. Thank you.
Now what are you going to say, Morgan?
I said wonderful. Thank you.
No. That's not what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say,
fill me in.
Welcome to everybody that's on the Internet right now.
Oh, yes. Welcome to everyone who's on the Internet right now with us.
Morgan is in training.
I know. She's doing really good. Really, really good.
Hives is late. Actually, he's not on tonight. Hives is our regular greeter. And we usually just, for the first 5 minutes when we happen to get on at BBS early, we just kind of hang out and greet people as they show up. So,
isn't that funny? Do you know that before I dialed in, my angel said to me that what I have to say is, welcome to everyone in my family.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
Well, that's you.
That's how I feel. And I hope they all have a wonderful holiday.
You know what, Morgan?
Yes.
You are good. You are good at this.
Oh, really?
you sound very sincere.
Oh, I'm dead sincere. Absolutely.
I know you are, you know? So, thank you.
Morgan, you're doing wonderful. I remember the first time I had to go and announce that we're on the radio, I almost froze, but for some reason, words just started coming right out of my mouth, and I went for it.
Ditto. Yeah, ditto. Yeah.
I felt like I blundered everything, but actually everybody told me later I sounded pretty good. And I said, well, geez, probably the first time in my life I sounded good.
Oh, good.
Well, you should have heard the first time we were on the radio.
I bet that was good. Another
Carolyn
caller coming in. Not Alberta.
No, Morgan?
Yes?
Now you screwed up there, okay?
What?
Every time you hear a ding, which you just heard,
yes,
you have to say, hey, welcome, and would you like to say your name and your city? I'll do it for you.
I will do that.
Okay? Don't get frozen.
Okay, I'll try not to.
That's your cue, okay?
Okay, welcome to the call, and would you like to say your name and where you're from?
Don in Northern Ohio.
Hi, Don.
Hi,
welcome.
Thanks.
Glad to have you.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
Heiss is busy tonight, and so we don't have the gift of his presence right now. But
no, we missed a ding, Morgan.
Oh, there were two sorry.
Dings.
I'm not hearing them.
Okay.
Welcome to whoever's in, just coming in. Please say your name and location if you want to.
I was a minute ago, Carrie in California, Northern California.
Oh, great. Welcome.
Hi, and I was a few minutes ago, and I'm Jane in Philadelphia.
Hi, Jane in Philadelphia. Glad to have you with us.
Yes. You're a good welcomer.
Morgan, you've been listening to us. Morgan is undergoing training.
I sure am. Trial by fire, or water, or something.
How to say hello to people.
I think she'd try to use Heiss's accent.
Oh, good luck with that.
Just remember, if you're going to be like Heiss, and give your name and your city, only if you want to.
Yes, I've been saying that, yeah.
I love him, too. Where is he?
He's busy tonight.
He has something to do today, so soccer. But you know, he very rarely thinks.
Welcome to our call. If you want to say your name and location, we'd love to have it. Welcome.
Morgan's under training tonight. It's probably good to say.
She's called maybe monitored by her supervisor.
That's right. That's what it's called. It's monitored by. I don't want to say I'm a supervisor. We got to get on it now.
Welcome.
Let me do
you want to say your name and location?
Cecil Caesar, but in Seattle.
Oh, hi, Cecil. I think of you often. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Glad to have you with us.
Kind of well. I've got my baseball messed up right now.
Morgan, one of the things, excuse me, Cecil. You can tell us in a moment. But Morgan, like what you could do, when you hear the ding, like you could say, hi, my name is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Chris in Memphis.
Chris. Hi, Chris.
Yes. Hey, Wynn.
Sedona, would you like to? Oh, we know where you're from, Sedona. Okay, very good. Jim.
Sedona, Jim, yes, from Podunk.
Aptly named.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you? Blessings and happy holidays.
Jim, how come your phone always sounds so great and Wynn and Terry's are
terrible?
It's his voice. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't even need a phone.
Now, we had some dings in there that we didn't get a chance to identify.
Anyone like to speak
Rick,
up and say your name and location?
Yeah, it's Washington, Canada.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
Hello.
Glad to have you.
This is Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger in Austin. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Great. Great.
Is that Wanda from Saskatchewan?
Oh, yep. Lovely.
Did you ever hear of Hulda Clark?
Hulda what?
Hulda Clark.
No.
She went to Saskatchewan University. Uh-huh. Involved in like a Rife, Royal Rife-like electro-healing kind of thing.
Wow.
I heard her.
Yeah.
That's where I heard her name before.
Morgan, yes. As soon as you hear a ding, you got to tell
okay.
everyone else to be quiet.
Excuse me? Yeah, yeah. Okay, yes. And would you like to say your name and location, please?
Only if you want
to. If you want to.
Only if you want to.
Yeah.
They have a Clark Hall in University of Saskatchewan.
A what? Right there? What's there?
They have one called Clark Hall.
Oh, okay.
Like they have different every room and whatever is dedicated to somebody, right? So
it's probably after her, right?
Mm. Yeah, there's some places dedicated after her. Uh-huh. I've seen in Saskatoon there in the university.
Can I ask you a Saskatchewan question? Whereabouts in Canada is it located exactly?
In the very middle.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
I have a very special spot.
Wait a second! Somebody
came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to tell everybody.
Say your name and location if you want to.
Okay, there you go.
Tammy May, Everett, Washington.
Oh, welcome, Tammy May.
Thank you.
Tammy May, Morgan's under training here.
And without knowing about it ahead of time, I just called in my regular 10 minutes of thing.
Now, Morgan,
yes.
You were saying without knowing about it ahead of time. Now,
yes.
If I was doing your job,
yes.
I would say without knowing. Oh, my name is Morgan. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Very good idea. Yep.
Yeah, you have to stay right focused because here's what happens: you'll get drawn into a side comment in a conversation.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there's 10 dings.
Yeah.
And you have to cut off the side conversation and greet the person that's dinging. Okay?
The new one that's coming in, yeah.
The
yeah.
new one, right. And
my mother was Canadian
Wait. Somebody new is there.
I didn't even hear it. Okay. Okay, this is Morgan. And I'd like to welcome whoever just came on. Would you like to say your name and location?
Steve, Columbus, Ohio this week.
Oh, hi, Steve. Welcome. Have you helped
Thank
us
you.
Before? Have
Pardon
you listened
me?
To us before?
Oh, a number of times.
Oh, okay, great. Welcome back. Oh,
you missed another thing there.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Morgan. Please say your name and location if you want to.
This is Maya from Big Island, Hawaii.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
Maya,
there was another thing there?
Yeah, there was another thing.
I missed it. My phone. I'm not getting it. Yeah. Okay.
Now you could say anyone that called in that didn't say hello that would like to, here's your chance.
Just what Wynn said, yes.
John from Las Vegas.
Hi, John.
Hi, Wynn.
Well, are we done now, or?
I don't know.
Ask if there's anyone else.
Is there anyone else who would like to say their name and location, if they want to?
It's okay to be anonymous.
Oh, it is okay to be anonymous. That's right.
Mm. But when you say your name, it kind of puts your frequency in. And it's like we have been working with a really interesting concept. It's what I call group energy,
mm-hmm.
that as each person identifies himself and just says their name,
uh-huh.
it's like their soul frequency. Now, your soul frequency can come in without saying your name.
Right.
And just being anonymous, it can.
Right.
But during the course of the call, you'll suddenly find, oh, my God, I'm present. I can feel the energy. I can feel the people on the call.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, it helps when they say their name, because then you get it grounds it into your physical body.
Yes.
But when somebody's new, it's like they're trying to figure out if we're a bunch of wackos.
Yeah, if they want to say anything, yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's fine to stay anonymous.
Yeah.
Until you make up your mind.
Right. Right. But,
I mean,
you know, I did, let me say 30 seconds here. I am so glad that I found you guys and that you found me back. I really say a prayer every night. I am so grateful mm-hmm. for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the... Hi, this is Morgan. Would you like to say your name and location if you want to?
Hi there, Morgan. This is Terry.
Oh, hi, Terry. How you doing?
Hi, okay.
Great. I'm stepping in for highs, it looks like. Wynn tapped me on the shoulder, and here I am.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's how highs got started. Okay.
Good one. You got tapped on the head.
That's how I got started, too.
We've had new people come in now.
Would you like, this is Morgan, would you like to say your name and location if you want to? Anybody new?
Yeah, Marilyn, Pennsylvania.
Oh, hi, Marilyn, Pennsylvania. How are you?
Fine, Morgan. How are you?
Great. Great. Glad to have you.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
Yeah, I always say I'm from Saskatchewan, but I grew up in Alberta. I'm from Medicine Hat.
Oh.
And I...
We'll have to talk sometime.
Somebody has to come back to Saskatchewan. You know, we can't leave it abandoned.
Yeah. Yeah, I get a bigger abandonment. I never got to say my mother was from PEI.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A friend of ours just moved to PEI on the coast.
Yeah.
She posted pictures of her backyard of the ocean.
Yeah. My mother said she grew up with the ocean on three sides and lilacs on the other.
Hey, you know what? It's 7:09.
Yes.
And I'm going to start the tape recorder.
Please do.
And our lines are pretty quiet tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hang on.
This conference is being recorded.
This is December 22nd, 2014. This is Wynn Free, and all of the other me's out there. And we had Morgan greeting people for the first time tonight.
Sort of, yeah.
And sort of. No, Hives is our usual greeter.
Yep.
And
he's so good at it.
Isn't he?
Yes, he is.
He's such a cheery guy. Let's give Morgan a round of applause.
Oh, you know.
Yay, Morgan.
Yay, Morgan.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Morgan is pretty shy. Are you shy, Morgan?
Ultra, yes.
Ultra.
Yep.
Yeah, so good work. Good work.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, thank you.
I mean, Terry used to be shy, you know.
Yeah, I do.
And Terry now, you think you're into arguments with me. Why? You know, Jim is not shy, okay?
No, yeah.
And Jim gets into arguments with me when we're not live.
Yeah.
Jim, are you there? Hello, Jim? Now he won't talk. Okay. Jim, I see you there. I know you're there.
Hello, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Would you like to be critical of me in front of everybody?
I couldn't think of a thing that I would be critical about.
But I didn't say I loved your dinner last night.
Well, you play that way once in a while.
Hey, this is Wynn. Would you like to say your name in the city?
It's Carola in Medicine Hat, Alberta.
Hi, Carola.
Hi, Wynn.
Nice to have you. And who else was on there?
Who?
Somebody else dinged. If they want to say hello. Anyone else want to say hello? Okay. Well, I called tonight an open mic because I said, you know, I shouldn't say you know. Okay, so let me try to censor myself and get my no's and okays out of my conversation. Ding. Those of you who are attending our calls regularly, I mean, there's a point where it gets filled up. I mean, there is literally, even for me, it's amazing that we're putting this out, so much breakthrough information. Just about every which way, so many feelings of great energy on the call and camaraderie. So every so often I do an open mic just so we can let our hair down. Because as far out as all of this is, and it is far out, it's far out for me. You know, the people that listen to us regularly, you know, I've watched an evolution take place because I keep getting to the place, well, it can't be any more. It can't be any more. We can stop here. And every time I say that, something happens that pushes the boundaries of everything on some level or another. And what it seems to happen is that it pushes the boundaries, and it pushes all of our individual boundaries as well. And, you know, as I said, you know, cancel that, you know, okay. as far out as everything can be, it has to, doesn't have to, but the best case scenario is where it breaks down into community, where it breaks down into identifying yourself with the highest aspect of yourself, experiencing yourself as the highest aspect of yourself. And you never lose your personal self. We're all human beings. We're all in bodies. And we're also spirits that are occupying those bodies. And of course, the spirit part of us is a little, shall we say, not devious, but
human.
Well, no, hidden. It's hidden. I mean, you can be in a body, and you may go through your whole life and never connect with the part of you that's a spirit, that's a soul, that's part of the cosmos. And in fact, that's probably true for most people, even really talented people. They don't know that aspect of themselves. And the reason it's so hard to know it is because it's so close, it's so there, that it's almost like invisible, kind of like air. You know, we breathe air. Now, let's just imagine you came into this realm and no one ever told you what air was. And yet you're breathing it every day. Okay?
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
You're breathing air every day. But if you hadn't been trained to look for air, you might not ever know that it existed, even though it is one of the prime physical components that keeps you alive. You follow what I'm saying? It's like invisible. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You could say the space around you is filled with air, but how do you know that? It's invisible. Okay, what's this stuff blowing on my face? So then you start noticing a sensation. And then you would have, maybe you would come to the conclusion and try to figure out what air was by all the sensations it gave you. That's assuming you weren't a scientist and could measure it. We're imagining like a bunch of Aborigines, okay? I mean, they don't have any science. They don't have any textbooks. They don't have anything where no one ever talked about air, and they would know, they might not know what air was if they never heard about it. And so spirit is somewhat similar because you can't see it, but you can start to feel its impact on you, just like air. And as you keep noticing the impact, you start to get the deeper understanding of what it is and how to work with it, right? It's kind of like with air, you know, you may not know what it is, but if you're in this realm for a while, eventually you experience wind. And then you experience big winds, and you have to learn how to deal with it. You have to put up fences and houses so the wind does not make you uncomfortable. It doesn't make you cold. And there's something comparable between air and spirit, that spirit can blow through you. Energies can move through you, and they're invisible, but you notice the shift. You notice something happen, and you say, what's that? It's like each of us is in the laboratory of our own experience. And no matter how much you read about something, until you feel the wind of spirit in your life, it sounds like something external, something that you can catalog, something that you can document, but you don't know what it is yet. So one of the, I think, main aspects of coming to our calls and exposing yourself to our materials is that you get to start to understand this very enigmatic quality that we could call spirit or soul for short. And you get to understand and feel how big you can be, how big your energy can be. And it's really hard to explain it in words to someone who hasn't had the experience. Now, some people come into these calls and they've had the experience. And when they come into the call, they identify that quality immediately. And some people come into the call and they haven't had that experience. And then they hear about it, they hear us talking about it, and that's the point where somebody has to decide, these guys are a bunch of wackos or some kind of cult, and I don't understand what they're talking about, or there's something there. They sound like intelligent people. How do they get bamboozled into this thing? And, you know, everyone's going to have their own experience and come to their own conclusions. And, you know, my job is to just stand in the center and just be as transparent and honest as I can so other people can have the experience or not. And so on that note, we're having an open mic. Let's see if I unmute people, how noisy it is. Now, if you got noise in your background, would you press *6? Because I kind of like it when everyone's unmuted, because then we can just casually talk to each other, and anyone can say anything, because that's dangerous sometimes. Who knows who's going to say what, okay? But here we go.
All callers are unmuted.
When can I say something?
Well, why not?
Okay. I had a holiday thought, and I don't know people's last names who I talk with 3 times a week here on this line or listen to, and I just want to wish them the happiest of holidays. And when they are have a moment to themselves, I would like them to just hug themselves, and it's from me. For a happy holiday, I could be somebody's sister or whatever, and I just want to share that and with my brothers and sisters and say thank you for being here whenever I call in. You guys are here, and I appreciate you. And I hope you're all having a reasonable life and that you're happy. Okay, that was all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Morgan.
You're very welcome.
Anyone else want to say anything? Is Maya on the line?
Yes, I would like to say something.
Now, wait a second. I didn't say you could talk yet. I wanted to introduce you, okay?
Okay.
Maya loves to talk. But, you know, I have a long history with Maya. And early on, when I was cutting my teeth, well, I'm still cutting my teeth. It's just that I've cut them a little way. I had gone up to Fairfax, California, and I was staying there, and I was doing a talk in Concord. And is Francis on the line, Vinny Chance? Francis, are you there? Francis, I met Francis in Concord. There was a little expo there. And how many years ago was that, Maya? Tell me.
I think it is about 7 years ago, Wayne.
7 years ago. And, you know, almost nobody knew who I was at that point. And so I was in Fairfax, and there was a little coffee shop there. And
the Fat Angel.
What's it called?
Fat Angel.
Fat Angel, thank you. Now, we're not talking about any discarnate spirits that are overweight, okay, right? So I went to this little coffee shop, and there was this woman there who was a little bit forlorn, okay? And somebody She was living in a group, and she got excommunicated. They told her she had to leave. And so I was doing this talk, and I thought of taking her with me. And then I said, but she could screw up my talk if I took her with me. I mean, maybe she would distract me. I don't even think she knew anything about me at the time. But I decided to take her with me. And so we drove across the bridge. Fairfax was across the bridge from Concord. And then she came to my talk, and I don't even know if she liked me, okay? I don't even know what she thought. And she was very opinionated, and she probably still is. Are you still opinionated, Maya?
I'm discerning, and that's what you teach, Wynn.
Okay, that's all right. I don't mind discernment. So now I dropped Maya back off in Fairfax. Now, keep in mind, you have this young, sharp, intelligent woman that just got abandoned, and she's living in her truck, okay? And she doesn't know where she's going to go next. And I had given her my phone number. Oh, my God. I said, and so it's like for the next 3 years, Maya would call me all the time. And I was kind of like helping her get through jams. Like one point she was in Denny's and she didn't have any money for gas. And somebody that was on my conference calls lived near the Denny's. And I said, could you help this woman? She's totally stuck. She's in Denny's. They went over and they gave her gas money. And then, I mean, she was on the street. She was in different cities. And then she had the idea to go to Hawaii because she thought somebody was going to give her a job there. And when she got there, the job fell through. And now she's wandering around Hawaii. I think she gave up her truck. And in between all of that, she used to get mad at me and was going to churches and was concerned that maybe I was demonic, right? But now, with that introduction, Maya, you can tell anybody anything you want, okay?
Bonnie. Well, it's not like I think you are demonic, Wynn. Am I appropriate, or somebody else is talking right now?
The lines are open, Maya, so anybody can say anything. But you know what? It's kind of like, go ahead, just say whatever you want. I don't know what she's going to say, guys. This could be trouble.
No. I have never said you are demonic. Just I would like to commune with people who have a lot more knowledge and devotion with Jesus Christ directly as a person. Now, and right now, actually, I'm again, the cycle went 360 degrees around. You and I haven't spoken for about 2 years, and I am in the whole thing started all over again, because the Christian community I have been a part of basically have been refusing to make the most of my gifts. I was functioning I have been functioning for the last 3 years or so on a very modest level, and I cannot share my gifts because it is not welcome. And that's why I called you up this month, because I feel like I just had enough, and when I have thought of you, my heart felt freedom. And when I called you up and we were very happy to hear from each other again, I just decided.
We lost you, Maya. Are you there? Okay. All right. Come back when you can.
Has Maya heard of Dr. Friedman and his book and all that?
think she has, you know. I don't think she's read it, though. But, you know, she was, like, trying to be a traditional Christian. You know, let me tell you, she very much struggles making ends meet. And, you know, I recognize a certain kind of person and actually identify with them because I've been that kind of person. And it's like, who is that? Chris, are you okay?
You probably don't want to know.
Sounds like somebody's crying.
Yeah.
Chris is not...
Is that Maya?
Chris, can we do a healing on you before the call ends?
Oh, please do. I won't go into that. I don't want to scare anybody on this line, so I won't talk about what's going on.
Okay. But we'll do a healing. I'm trying to bring in some light. We'll all work and try to focus it on you, okay?
I was not aware
what
about
gift?
That Kathleen Rosenblatt's pulsed electromagnetic frequency field stimulator thing?
Yeah.
Does anyone know anything about that?
I don't know. I had an experience with it. Let me see. Did Maya come back?
Yes, I am here. I don't know how I got lost.
What are your special gifts, Maya?
I don't know if I can name them, but it seems like that I seem to be, it's very true that what Vin has told about me a few years ago is that I can tune into people's energies and channel it to a higher level and create it for them like a gift. And then I so strongly identify with every single event that it is almost like people would be taking my own identity away. And that's where things have been confusing for me. And I think that's where Wynne was very helpful, because he tried to help me to discern what is me and what is not me. What is it I'm channeling and what is identical to what is my purpose, who I am.
You have to ground more.
Pardon?
More grounding, maybe?
I don't know.
Also?
It is more like discerning who I am and what I do for service. Because for me, it is like always one. And that is terribly confusing. And I have to be able to discern those two events. What is it that I do for service and who I am? Otherwise, I'm going to be just reveling around with personal agonies and never making a step forward and never really even be truly of service.
Yeah, say something?
There's a lot of people like you. A lot of people same boat.
I wanted to ask, what's your name, miss?
My name is Maya.
My
name's David. I just wanted to, I can understand where you're coming from, because when I'm, my empathic abilities, I'm empathic. I lose myself in other people's feelings and I start to think it's me.
There is no big bang.
So I know what you're referring to, if that's what I think you're trying to say. You can't discern between your own energy and their energy, and it becomes part of you.
Because there's going
hard to
be
separate the two. Is that what you're trying to say?
7 o'clock.
No.
You know. I used to be like that. I mean, I think I'm still like that. It's just that I've learned to work with it in kind of a masterful way. But I remember when I was a kid and I would go to the movies, I would just walk out of the movie and I just feel like whoever was the star in the movie. I just feel like them totally. It took me a while to get back to myself. Or, you know, if you spend time around someone who's got a strong presence, or you get personal with someone, it's like if you're empathic, you end up feeling like the person. And it's like you think you're a follower, and sometimes people get that around me, like they think they're a follower, and I don't put that out, but I have a strong presentation. So somebody, you know, I try to reverse that. It goes back onto people because there's really nothing to follow here. This is just a thing of showing up and getting experience and growing and getting to know each other and growing and learning and it's not
sharing
like there's
energy.
Nothing, sharing energy. There's nothing to join. You don't have to spend any money. You know, some of you are listening on the internet and you don't get to talk, but I get emails from people who are listening on the internet and they start to feel like part of our family, even though they never talk to us. So if, now there's somebody new that came in. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, this is Susan, Delaware.
Susan, are you feeling ornery tonight?
I had to stay late at work.
You did. Now, you would like Maya. Maya, I want you to meet Susan.
Hi, Susan. Nice to meet you.
Susan is a little like you, Maya, except she's more professional. She, you know, at least when she works.
I think I was like, I think I might have been on Susan's calls one already 4 years ago.
No, I don't think Susan was coming into our calls 4 years ago. Were you coming in 4 years ago, Susan?
No.
No, that was a different Susan then.
Yeah. And so, Susan, we're just, Maya came on the call tonight for the first time in 3 years. And she stopped coming to the calls because she used to get mad at me all the time. And she decided she was going to go.
Yeah, because people always would tell me what I am and what I am not. And that is just as annoying as it is helpful.
Well, thank you for standing up. I just remember you would call me all the time and yell at me. Okay?
You're too sensitive, Wynn.
Susan, it's supposed to be open mic tonight.
Oh, is that what this is?
I knew I was late. Yeah. In any case, Maya, I did not mind, okay? I get used to it. People get, you know, one of the things that I have to deal with is sticking myself in the middle of all this. It kind of surfaces things for some people. And when it surfaces stuff, they project things out. They think I'm doing something that I don't think I'm doing, but they think I am because they're projecting it. Now, everyone have you ever had that experience? Everyone's had that experience.
Sure.
Someone projects on you what you're doing. And in some cases, there could be some truth in it. But in a lot of cases, you know, they're projecting their stuff on you, and they don't really see you. And you know what? It's like, it's okay. I stay neutral on that. I've learned to stay neutral. I don't get offended. And you know, I keep the doors always open. You know, so now, who is that? I got to mute this one person here. Hang on. There we go. And now I can keep the lines open. But I thought Maya was very brave. And, you know, she's one of those people that had a indefeatable self-reliance and independence. And I was watching and supporting her while she was going through it. And it was a period of time, I think, that if I wasn't there, I don't know if you would have sustained yourself. You know, Maya, at certain periods.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Oh, yeah. That's totally true, Ben. I have never stopped to be grateful for being available to call you because you are right. The mind
is the most important danger zone. When we are put out vulnerable into the world, if we can't guard our minds, then we are really truly lost, and we get into bad company, and we're going to have issues and trouble. And you were there to help me to guard my mind. However crazy it was, and you became part of my drama, but it was still, you kept me safe on the street for how many years? 5 years, living on the street, just by the phone, guarding my mind. That is huge. That in itself, for me, is a worth of writing a book about.
Mm-hmm. You know, Maya's very articulate. I mean, she's really sharp. She's really smart. She has studied metaphysical things. You went to a college. She's from Hungary, and she went to a college. Didn't you study Wilhelm Reich? Who was it?
I studied special education, but then after later on, what you're wanting to say is the University of Metaphysical Sciences that I'm a student of.
Mm-hmm.
In what country?
No, I'm studying in California. I haven't been to Hungary for, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in Hawaii.
Are you living in Hawaii?
Yes.
I think one of the greatest stories that happened, I think it was a great story, was, you know, Maya was there struggling. And, you know, she actually has a lot of light energy, and in certain cases, people are attracted to her energy. So she was getting involved with some of the weirdest people out there. But in the midst of it all, she was holding her energy together. And there was some homeless guy that she was always kind to, and I think she even gave him money. And his name was Dale, is that right?
Yes.
And so suddenly, Dale got this settlement from social. Can I tell the story, Maya? Is it okay?
Well, but tell it all correctly if you say it.
Well, you can correct me. I'm just saying it from my memory. I'll give you a chance to correct me. Dale was on social. Got a big social security check, huge. And he ended up coming back and buying a car for Maya, a $5,000 car. He ended up buying a condo and then gave Maya a little closet to use as a room. And it doesn't mean it was all perfect. He was probably drinking, but somehow the energy of... See, the way I see it, Maya, that you were genuinely caring about him and that he got it. He got it was genuine. There was nothing you had to gain from any care you extended to him. And that when something good happened for him, he didn't forget that. And he came back and, in his own way, tried to take care of you a little bit. Now, you can correct that, but that's not accurate. You can restate it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's all accurate, except for in the beginning when we lived on the street and I cared about him. I wanted to know about everybody, why they are on the street. Because I knew that I am immigrant, I have certain reasons to not be able to, after I left my husband, to not get on my own feet. But I wanted to know why other people are on the street, and the reasons were mental illness or some kind of, usually it's mental illness. But for this guy, he was not mentally ill besides drinking alcohol, but I discovered that he was just lazy to go after his social security money and that he needed to fill out some paperwork, so minimal. And basically, I have inspired him to do it. In about 7 months, by the time the paperwork went through, we got an apartment because of the money he got, backboard money. And mm-hmm. he said that I never have to be homeless again because I will always have a room in his apartment. Now he thinks mm-hmm. differently. Things have evolved on. 5 years later, we might have a bit of issue with his drinking. But yes, that's how it turned out to be. You extend your mm-hmm. interest for another person, and then sometimes it just really, like, for me, it really worked. You are right about that. I mean, that was a big story. Be a part of.
Another part of the story is that Maya was living in California, and not California, Hawaii, and she ended up living on somebody's porch, and he was charging her like $400 and some or something, which I don't know where she was coming up with, but she was living outside on the porch, and this is the time she was meeting people like Dale and falling in love with people and falling out of love, and you know, she was a woman, and she's, as you can hear in her voice, she's a fairly demonstrative woman and attractive in her personality. And it was like she was trying to cope with having dignity and wanting love and going through all those things. And I think she did a great job. And I was just like her sounding board. And I know, I said to myself, she is so out there. There were times when she was so out there and she looked so crazy that I said, if I didn't talk to her, she would fall off the plank, you know? So thank you for sharing all that, Maya. And anything
yeah,
else?
Yeah, I had to tell you, Ben, it was wonderful. It's wonderful how you summed it up, and you took my mind through this story we had together. It shows me how far I have come and how much more vulnerable I still am than I would have to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's onwards and upwards from here. How's that sound?
Yeah, I hope so. I agree.
Anyone else have anything to share?
Yes, Wynn, it's Jim. I have something to share with everyone and with you. At this time of year, it's a very short quote by the great humorist Irma Bombeck, but there's nothing really humorous about this. I think it's quite beautiful. She said, "There's nothing sadder in this world than to awake Christmas morning and not be a child."
Mm-hmm.
Not be a what?
A child.
I feel like that every Sunday, and I'm not kidding. I'm not mm-hmm. kidding.
I think what she's saying is that we're all children at heart, no matter how old we may be, and if, as we get older, we lose that childish quality.
Enthusiasm, yep. I agree. Very good, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
And let's see. Anyone else have anything to say?
I've noticed we've had quite a few new people come in since we started.
Yeah.
Can we bless the planet at some point?
When, yeah, we need to help Chris, who is crying.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't crying. It's probably sounds of my voice.
Jim's
either way
through,
is okay.
Jim's going through health issues. That's him.
It's a lot worse than that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
what's going on.
Get my drift. I don't want to say anything that could possibly even get, you know, kind of acknowledge this in or jeopardize any this call or anything.
But we all understand.
Being negative, something.
We're here for you, though.
We've all been there. Yep.
Yeah, well, we've all been there many of times in many of places.
I've been completely taken over. My face, my face is morphed into what I can say is something very scary. My mother even saw it. Sometimes I'm saying things that are just coming out. I've seen shadows. Like I said, I would say done something to make myself more vulnerable or whatever. And I've already been the negative. I've had dealings with the negative for a long time. Even as a child, I saw little things. But I've done something, I guess, kind of to open my fields a little bit.
Are you feeling like the negative is attacking you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course, very.
Hey, Wynn, how did you deal with that? The negative went after like DK.
Well, you know, I had a big negative attack, and what they told, I said, how do I keep this from happening again? And they said, dedicate yourself to your highest purpose, and that will never leave your space, and you'll be protected. And, you know, at that time, I wasn't strong enough to even think about doing what I'm doing now. In fact, I couldn't even have imagined it. But I realized that I had written the book, and I was talking to the Elohim, and I said, this was really important to get out there. And I would knock on doors and talk to various New Age people, and I could never, you know, I looked like a wacko, right? Wait a second, now I gotta, let me mute. Where is she? Here we go. Let me mute this.
Does Terry Brown know anything about warding off negative attacks?
Some people say, in Jesus' name, I forbid you, whenever you have a feeling like that, or if you think something's going to happen or something's coming over you.
Oh, you know, I've done a lot. I've done all that. I've done the Violet Flame, Archangel Michael, all this. You know, salt, candles, sage.
Chris, what state are you in?
I'm sorry?
What state are you in?
I'm in Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah, some people actually they wrote to me and said this something, you know, they were scared I was. And it's not like
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Can't hear you, Wynn.
We lost you, Wynn.
All right. And we are about to be at BBS. Hello, Terry. I don't see Wynn's line over here. I think he dropped out.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, okay.
So thank all the listeners on BBS. Thank you all here on the call. This was all of a sudden an end. Oh, here's the wind back. No, it's not.
What he could do would be, Chris, if you can do the invocation. Repeat the invocation.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hi, Wynn.
Now, you see that? I'm just about to call in the light for Chris.
Okay.
And they cut me off, okay? So let's just take, I want everyone now to tap in to your higher connection. and tap into your ability to project energy. And I want you all to surround Chris with loving, light, protection, and healing. And we'll take a moment of silence, and then we'll finish it.